Good morning to each one of you this morning. It certainly is a great privilege to be here with you, brothers and sisters. Brother Eric, how many teachers do you say assistants and teachers you have?
55.
You make me feel humble. What a blessing to be able to know that there's that many that devotes their time and their life to the purpose of serving the Lord. The topic of our lesson is unity and diversity. When was the first time unity was done? What I'm thinking of is going back to the Garden of Eden, when God created all things in verses 10 and 18, 21, I believe it is, tells us when God saw it, it was good. And then in verse 26 and 27 of that first chapter of Genesis, you'll find it says, "And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and all the earth, that over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female, created he them. Now, I would believe that when God created them, male and female, there was unity, because it tells us in chapter 2, he made them in the image and the likeness of them, verse 27, in the image and the likeness of them. So I believe there was unity in the creation. It was unity in the purpose which God had created mankind. There was disunity when Eve, in the diversity of God and mankind, when Eve took of the forbidden fruit and gave to Adam. And that's a challenge to each one of us as I think of it too, the thought of how disunity can be interrupted because of sin or disobedience. But on the other hand, the purity still remains the same. Then I was made to think also the thought of diversity. I was made to think in the Exodus 18th chapter. We think of in verses 13 to the end of that chapter. Then we'll, after a bit, come to our scripture text, which Brother Eric has read. We will find that Moses, as he was leading the children of Israel, he was taking care of all the problems, the cares, the concerns of the thousands and thousands and thousands and maybe millions of people as they came to him for problems. He was attaining and trying to attain unity in that position. But we find that his father-in-law came to him, verse 14. When Moses' father-in-law saw that he did to the people, he said, "What is this thing that thou doest to the people? Why sittest thou thyself alone, and all the people stand by thee from morning to evening?" And Moses said unto his father-in-law, "Because the people come unto me, inquire of God." And then we find that in verse 17, "And Moses' father-in-law said unto him, this thing is not good." Why? He's doing God's work. But he goes on to explain to him that how it is too much of a burden, a load on you. It's going to wear you down. The people's going to be wearing down. That's my words, not exactly the scripture, but you know what I'm saying. That you need to set people of the man of God's people in charge. "Hearken now unto my voice. I will give thee counsel, and God shall be with thee." In verse 19, "Be thou for the people to Godward, that thou mayest bring the cause of them, that thou mayest teach them ordinance and laws, and have show them the way, and thou shalt show them the way there wherein they must walk, and walk they must do." And he goes on to tell them how that he's to set those in verse 21. "Moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people about able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers of thousands and of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens. Let them judge the people at all season. It shall be that every great matter they shall bring unto thee, but every small matter they shall judge, so shall it be easier for thyself, and they shall bear the burdens with them. And Moses hearkened unto the voice of Jethro, his father-in-law. To me, this was a beautiful example of the thought of being able to diversify the responsibility. And as we go to the text of this morning's hour, as we looked in the 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter here, we also read from that chapter, verses 4 down through 8. There was diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. There are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to whereby profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit of God the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge and the same Spirit, to another Spirit by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit. So we see in chapter 12 here, the beginning of it is given unto us the very purpose of the thought of the diversity of the Spirit of God unto mankind. So we think of unity. What does the word unity mean? We got some school teachers, I think, for sure in here. What's unity mean? Unity means, simply means to me, at least, is one. Things combine to one purpose is unity. Diversity means to divide out to others. So if we have unity in diversity, meaning to say to me at least, that as unity has been divided out, as Jethro said to Moses, choose men of God to do these responsibilities. But if unity is divided into diversity, then the diversity as it is taught and brought forth will bring back to unity of what was being done. And so therefore we think of those things involving with it. In dealing to the thought of how that it is important for us to recognize as these physical bodies which Eric read about, which we'll get into, how that whereby that each part has a function that it must do. Each part has a responsibility. And you recognize that when God created man and woman and the earth and the things that in chapter 1 and God saw it was good. And I believe that as God created man and woman, the diversities that's in the body, that God would have looked at it and he would have said, the scripture don't say it there, but God could have looked at it and said, and God saw it was good. I realize that sometimes in the diversities of the body that there are times that whereby that there are functions do malfunction and we have sorrow, sickness, and death that she comes. But that's still part of God's diversity. And so therefore we go to the first verse of our lesson of this morning's hour. Verse 12. For the body is one and have many members, and all the members of the one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. In verse 13, go with it. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jew or Gentile, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink unto one Spirit. For the body is one and many members. When you looked over the congregations, I looked over here now this morning. What a blessing it is to see many members. And yet there's some times that in the many members there are those that are absent because illness or sickness or whatever reason may be. They are still members, but not seen. We have one body with many members. In our bodies are inward parts only, except in times of a doctor with the surgeons, where they will cut you open and open up and go inside of you, and whatever needs to be done, that sickness needs to be worked on, or whatever it might be. There are many, many parts inside that is really absent from the eye, but is not absent from sense of feeling. It is not absent from health when it is operating functionally correctly. So there are many members, all members of one body. How thankful are we that there are many members? To me, when I think of God created Adam and Eve, he took dust of the earth and made Adam. I'm assuming the fact that also he took some dust as well as Adam's rib to make the woman, because if he made man with the dust of the earth, I've assumed the fact that he would probably use some dust with it, not just the rib, although I don't want to get into debate on that, but I'm just using that as an example of how he made Adam. But all the parts were made, and the function worked perfect. There was unity until they sinned. And so therefore we see that by one Spirit, in verse 13, we were all baptized by one body. Now this baptizing, one Spirit, when we are baptized, is at the time of the Holy Spirit speaking unto us and we're brought into the church, or salvation to us. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. Now, one sense, I would say to us as brethren, as we baptize the tri-immersion way, it is one way. That's the unity which we have. But there are other churches and other denominations, other faith, who baptizes differently. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. This one body, which body is that? Is that the physical or is that the spiritual? And by the way, you said 55 teachers and assistants, Eric. So therefore, I know there should be some help or conversation with it that you have thoughts too. Don't feel rude if you interrupt with me. That's fine.
I submit to you it's both. It's both physical and spiritual. Physical is the church. It has its work on this earth. The Spirit keeps it together. I like your comment on the consistency of diversity. It gives me a picture of one of our sisters cooking a certain thing, and she knows she needs that specific consistency in that recipe for the finished product to be perfect. And that was, I think that was a very good example of consistency in diversity. But I submit to you that baptism of the Spirit is in both, in the physical and the spiritual.
Thank you, Jim. I guess when you have school teachers, Brother Ken would know that. You ask questions sometimes, even if you have your thoughts to stir up answers. Right, Jim. I like the thought you spoke of the fact of the recipe. I'll give you a little example of making a mistake. I like peach goblet. And when it's as a dessert, if it's hot, put a little milk in a cereal bowl and eat it. One time I decided I was going to make one, and for Barb and I, and we were going out to Eddie and Tiff's for dinner, and I made up peach goblet for us. And before we left, I said to Barb, I'm going to try a piece of this peach goblet, and I did. It had a bitter taste to it. What the world did I do wrong? Jim just mentioned the right recipe, right? So I thought, well, we'll take it alone anyway. I made it. It happened to be the last bag of peaches I had in the freezer, so I couldn't redo it. So I took it out, and we ate dinner with Eddie and Tiff and Benjamin and Heather and the two grandchildren. And in the course of it, why, the dessert went around, and Tiff took some, and I think Eddie may have, but anyway, Tiff went to take a bite of it, and she about choked. She didn't want to spit it out. She didn't want to embarrass the fact that her father-in-law made this dessert, and this was going to be terrible. What we talked about after a bit, I grabbed the wrong box. I grabbed baking soda instead of baking powder, and that put a wrong taste to it. And this is true, I'm using that example, by chance of when there's a mistake that is made, how the effect of it is made. But when God created the body, God did perfectly. There was no mistake in that. I'm convinced of that for sure. Anyway, whether we be Jew or Gentile, whether we be bond or free, and have all been made to drink into one spirit. In the Apostle Paul's day, who was Saul, became Paul, in Peter's day as well as after the day of Pentecost, when the sheep was left down as he was on the housetop praying, and he was told to kill and eat. And he said, "Not so, Lord. Nothing has defiled me in my mouth that I've eaten." And he was told more than once, and finally it left. And finally, after a while, from Cornelius, had sent for Peter to come. Now, Cornelius was not a Jew. So we find that when he sends there, and they inquire of the house where Peter was, and identify was, and three men come, so Peter goes with him, and he recognizes from that experience of the sheep that came down from heaven, the angel brought it to him and told him to eat, was revealing to him that the salvation was not only to the Jews, but to the Gentiles and all people of all time. Whether they be Jews or Gentiles, other places it refers to as heathen, the Gentile would be. Whether we be bond or free in prison, or free as we choose, whether we would be bond to a formality of one form or another, or free according to the Spirit. And all have been made to drink unto one Spirit. Again, we see the unity, one Spirit. The one Spirit is in the diversity to all, Jews and Gentiles, bond and free. It's not just to Pleasant Hill Brethren, but throughout the world. Eric prayed for those brethren and sisters in Ukraine. It's for them. It's for them in the other countries of the world that know not God, this one Spirit, but once they learn and accept Him, whether they're Jew or Gentile, whether they're bond or free, that same one Spirit is to them. How thankful we have a unity of spirit between God and Christ and the Holy Spirit that speaks and draws unto us. Verse 14, for the body is not one member, but many. And then we think of that, how that true that it is not one, but many the body. God did a marvelous, marvelous, I don't want to say invention, creation. I guess we should say creation when he created man and woman. Who of any of us could put something together that functions so perfectly but what God had made when he made man and woman? None of us could do that, I don't think. But God knew even from the beginning how to create the whole world and all the substance therein. And he made one world out of it, and he made man and woman. But then 15 and 16 says, and probably 17 says, if thy foot shall say, behold, I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? For if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where are the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it has pleased him. If all of you people, brethren and sisters, was functioning with one purpose, one way, one thing, you were all the eye, how would it go? If all of you were the ear, and you heard, but nobody talked. If somebody would be thinking that that many parts of it, it may not be as essential as others. Where would the rest be? If, for instance, if all were elders, where would the other be? If all was the newly converts to the church, who knows little, very little, perhaps, of the scriptures, if all was that, where would the leading be? You see, there is elders, and there are those to whom has little knowledge. And there's many, many between those two positions. As I would say, the elders as an example, and I'm not up putting them in high class, I'm not meaning that. But it would be those that were by would pray for the others who has little or very little knowledge of the Christian walk or the whole scripture nature-wise. How would they learn if they didn't have somebody to guide them? How would the understanding be if there was no understanding? You see, there's parts within the fellowship that rest in between. But yet, at times and many times, those that have little knowledge, a little understanding of the scripture does know how to pray. And many times, their prayers is what helps to carry the elders or the leaders of the church. So are they important? Of course they are. Of course they are. It doesn't matter what position you're in the church, you're important. Just like the body, the eyes, the ears, the hands, the feet, they're important because that functions you see and you recognize very easily unto it. But those inward parts, if they didn't function, it affects the whole body otherwise. And so also with that. If the whole body was here and I in verse 17 and 18 there too. But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it pleased him. As it pleased him, when we go through life, if we were going to develop something or make something, perhaps a carpenter with woodworking or metalwork with welding and so forth, whatever. When you take the material that you have, perhaps in a design that you have in mind, or a pattern that you are watching over to make something, when you have accomplished it, are you not pleased with it? Aren't you satisfied? Sometimes it would be like that peach goblet I made, putting the one wrong ingredients in. I was pleased and happy with it, with the way I made it. But because I had one recipe wrong, it wasn't right. And so is also the woodworking as well as the metal worker that would do things. But God was pleased as it had pleased him. What God had accomplished in making male and female, and all the parts that they're in, it pleased God. Now sometimes in some of us, because of our natural walk of life or in kind of society that we live therein, maybe sometimes we feel that we're not very pleased with the body that we have. I mean, sometimes that can be true, so forth. But we recognize that when God did it, God was pleased. And I believe in a sense, I realize sometimes I'm thinking for a moment here, is the thought of sometimes diabetes has a very harmful effect and people become a very somewhat overweight. And sometimes you go up and down the streets in town and you can see a person that you really, really feel sorry for. But yet God created that person. And so therefore, as we think in society, are we really pleased when we looked in the mirror and looked at ourselves and said, God, you made me and you were pleased? Now, sometimes in life, as we go through life, there are things and sometimes which we might do that is displeasing to God, and we can harm that body that God was pleased with. And Lord, just help us to realize it and turn to Him. Verse 19, and if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, in verse 20, but yet one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee. Cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee. Nor again, the head to the foot, I have no need of thee. But 19 and 20, if they were all one member, where were the body? And how are they many members, yet but one body? Many members here, and it's a blessing to see you all. It's a blessing to understand and see that there are many. But yet, you're not one exact identical as a pair of twins, one identical to the other. You're not all identical exactly one to another. But yet you're still the body of one body in the Spirit of God. And then verse 21 goes and says, and the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the foot, I have no need of thee. Nay, much more those members of the body, in verse 22, which seem to be more feeble are necessary. When I think of these things of how that God has formed it, we literally, in the physical sense, as well as in the church, in the spiritual sense, cannot really look at one to another and say, I have no need of you. How disappointing it would be if one of our elders would say to another member, I have no need of you, because you're not as I am. Or perhaps a member might say to the elder, I have no need of you because you tell me what to do all the time. I have no need of you. I'll do what I want to do. That's not unity in the diversity of the Spirit of God. So we need to realize that as a body of believers, that we urgently, necessity, as it is diversified in the congregation, we have need of each other. Each one has a place that God has placed in the church. Each one has a purpose. And sometimes we maybe don't quite understand, God, what is my purpose? But God has a purpose in the diversity that He has. Verse 23, and those members of the body which ye think to be less honorable upon thee, we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts are more abundant comeliness. Here we find it is important to those that seem to be less honorable, needs to be more honorable, abundant honorable. Means, to me at least, it means to be encouraged and uplifted. And we see those uncomely and uncomeliness unto them. We find it also there that it is there, those words that would be unto us, unto the purpose of it is unto there. Uncomely means unpresentable. Comeliness means modesty. And we find that as we go through those thoughts, that there are parts or phases that we're by that we go through, that we realize that not everyone is perfectly, but everybody is needed. For verse 24, for our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to the part which lacked. Meaning to say to me, there's some that just can't quite do what others can do, but yet they're still very vital. They're part of the diversity which God has given in the body. That there shall be no schisms or problems or disagreements in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. There shall be no schisms in the body. We turn over to 1 Corinthians 11 chapter. We also find it there in that chapter, which we often read during the love feast time. And how the Apostle Paul said unto them, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. For there are some that, see if I can find the scripture there real quickly on that one. But he talks about how that there's divisions. Some eat at home, some come hungry, some are drunk, and so forth like that. Divisions, problems therein. The whole body cannot be unified if there's problems in it. It cannot function completely, perfectly, as it ought to, as God was pleased when he saw it, when he made. And so therefore we realize that there are schisms in the body or problems, but the members shall have the same care one for another. Verse 26, and whether one member suffer, all members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all members rejoice with it. When there are sickness, illness in a physical body, does it not affect the whole works? When a brother or sister falls ill to whatever it might be, think of Brother Robert with a stroke, or somebody with cancer, or somebody with severe life-threatening situation, does not that also affect the well-functioning part of the body? Why do you have a prayer chain? Why do you pray one for another? Why do you instruct the care of somebody? If somebody has a hardship and lost, say, a home or something, or a place of living, does not the church go forth to try to help the body, to help the one who's lost much? So therefore, there shall be no schism in them. But verse 22, and whether one member suffer, all members suffer with it. Do we have, as a challenge to you, do we really have the compassion that we have, should have, when one suffers? Do we really suffer with them? Do we have the heart and the spirit within us to know when there's one suffers? Where is our suffering unto them? I got a feeling I've been speaking much and very little. Thanks, Jim, for helping me out there at one time. But you got comments, don't feel afraid to speak up. And then 27, for we are a body of Christ, and members in particular, and God has set some in the church, some apostles, some secondary prophets, third day teachers, and miracles, and gifts of healing, helpers, governments, diversities of tongues. And all the apostles, and all the prophets, and all teachers, in verse 29, and all workers in miracles, and all the gifts of healing, do all speak the tongues, do all interpret. But covet earnestly the best gift, and yet show unto you a more excellent way. This body of ours, God created, and I believe in the Garden of Eden, when there was that much peace and unity between God and man, that man, Adam and Eve, was not ashamed to be in front of and be with God, person to person. But covet earnest the gift that God has given you. Whether you're an eye or an ear or feet or hand or toe or whatever it might be, whatever place you are in the diversity which God has placed you, just trust that you might have a sincere desire to whereby that in which you would fulfill the purpose thereof. In ending, John 15, verses 1 to 8, Jesus spoke of the thought of, I am the vine, ye are the branches. You cannot abide, you abide together, but you cannot abide and produce fruit if you're separated. Those that do not bring forth fruit is cast off and casted into the fire. But those to whom that is in the vine, as Jesus said, I am the vine. That vine gives the energy, the purpose, to whereby that in which it produces. And I just hope and trust that somehow, as we recognize that we are in a diversity of the gifts from the Lord, from our Father in heaven, that we would be the branches shooting out from the vine, growing, maturing, and bringing forth fruit to the Lord. Any thoughts that somebody would have, and we'll just leave it closed at that point then. I just challenge you that remember, we all can't have the same position. We all can't do the same job. We all can't be the same person. But God has created each one of us. Let us produce fruit from the vine to the branches that we might serve Him. Thank you.